that you don't be astonished when God answers your prayers. Don't be astonished. The word astonished means to be surprised, you know, taken off guard. You don't believe it happened. You know, don't be astonished when God answers your prayer. What I've come to realize in my own observations and personal experiences that people pray for different reasons and people pray different ways. How many know that's true? And many times people are praying, it's a process that they're going through and they're not necessarily really engaging their faith. It's just something that they do. And I've cited a few reasons why people pray. One is religious duty or practice or something that is learned behavior. How many of you were raised in a house where you did not touch the food until what happened? You want to say a prayer. Anybody remember one of those prayers? There's one that's pretty common that we pray all the time. Lord, we thank you for this food that we're about to receive for the nourishment of our bodies. Amen, amen, amen. And the sanctification, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, there's the people that pray that God would remove all of the impurities from the food. Yeah, and then somebody start praying that God will remove all of the calories and the fat from the food. And how many know that that prayer will not be answered anytime soon? But religious prayer, people pray for all kind of reasons. And I guess we call it prayer. Sometimes it's just words spoken aloud. It's not necessarily authentic prayer. There's no thought of it actually connecting with anybody outside of the folk that's present. I was listening to Doug Banks on the radio, and he was talking about something had happened in the news with some prayer, and he said, I was taught, he said, that prayer is really for the people to hear that's present. And of course it struck me. I said, now, you know, it really helps to have a biblical worldview. It helps to understand what the scripture says about things, because a lot of us were told things, that things were this way or things were that way. And many times it's been passed down through generations where people say, well, you know, you pray for this reason or you do this for that reason. And as you mature and as you develop, you only realize after you have learned some things on your own that perhaps that's not the case at all. When it comes to prayer, we're having a legitimate conversation with God. Not just words spoken to comfort people that are present. Although, even in Jesus' case, we hear in Scripture where he says, well, I prayed this prayer, not, Lord, that I'm really needing to say this to you, but because of the people that are present, I'm hearing it. So that's like a little extra on to the prayer. At the end of the day, prayer is designed to communicate with a living God who hears and who listens. But again, people pray for different reasons. With the religious duty, religious practices, the things that are learned behavior, that happens. Another thing that we see is people are venting many times. They just need to say something. Maybe they're in pain. Maybe they're frustrated. Maybe they're bewildered. Maybe they don't know what to do with life in this moment. And you need to just say something. And so we call that prayer. So we get before God and we say stuff to get it out of us and to get it out. But even in that, how many know that many times we're not really thinking that God is listening? It's just therapeutic. It feels good to say it. In fact, we may even ask somebody to pray for us or to pray with us. And many times when you ask folk to pray for you, you don't really think they're going to pray. And and they may say okay and never say anything and never pray, never talk to God about it. That's why I try as often as I can. I was sharing this with the staff the other day. We get prayer requests by the internet, and I have to stop right there and pray. I say, if I don't pray right now, they're not getting no prayer. Unless you have a journal where you actually list out prayers, which I have that as well, not always keeping up with it as I'd like to, but unless you have a journal, you're not going to remember to pray. And again, many times the request is just something said to say, basically, I need you to think about me. Or I need some comfort in knowing that somebody else is feeling what I'm feeling. But in terms of it being legitimate prayer, where there's the expectation that God will actually hear it and then do something about it, not a whole lot of folk have gotten to that place to where they open their mouth, they know that God is listening. They know that God is listening. And so then there's the other kind of prayer, and that's the respect or honor prayer. When I've traveled, I've gone into some of the big cathedrals. We were just in Spain, in Seville, and we went into one of these incredible cathedrals. And in this cathedral, they had a small sanctuary, if you will. Well, small is all relative, because you could put this room in there probably about 50 or 100 times, but that was small compared to the size, the enormity of this massive cathedral. But they would keep the doors open all day, and people would just walk off the street, and they would come in, and they would go to the altar, and they would kneel, and they'd do the sign of the crucifix, and then they'd say a few things. And sometimes they just went in, and they were just silent. And if you talk to them, and I have engaged people from time to time, it's their way of showing respect. It's their way of honoring, you know, God, and respecting the facility, respecting the building, the sanctuary, if you will. And, okay, well, and that's good. I mean, as a gesture, that's good. But what I'm talking about is actual prayer, actually having a connection with God and knowing that he hears and he responds. And then finally, I want to talk about the desperation prayer. And most of us have been there before, where we've gotten ourselves into a situation and we need God to respond. How many have been there before? And that prayer goes something like this. Lord, if you help me out of this, I will never. And how many have been there before? And then in your mind, you know that you're not telling the truth, because you'll be right back there next week doing the same old crazy stuff. That's the way it goes. So, but the prayer I'm talking about, the prayer, the kind that he asks, I want to encourage you that as you develop your prayer life, and as you really come to understand what it means to talk to God, that in your heart there's a constant expectation that God will answer the prayer. And we should get beyond that place of being shocked when God responds. It should not be every now and then an abnormal experience for the believer, but there should be the expectation that God is answering prayer on a constant and a regular basis. How many know he does answer prayer? What gets us in trouble more than anything else is we want God to answer the prayer the way we want God to answer the prayer. You know, I was sharing the fact that, you know, many times when we're going through hell, what we really need is we want relief. We don't want no more pain. We don't want no more stress. We don't want no more sleepless nights. We don't want no trouble. And we want whoever it is that's in our life to get hit by a bus so life can go on. But if you got a real understanding of how it goes, sometimes God just walks with you through the hell. Sometimes he just, and it never ends as quickly as we'd like it to end, does it? We want it to happen like that, but sometimes it's a long process. And I found that even in that, what God will do is he will build into you patience and build into you long suffering. He will enable you to walk with others for an extended period of time where you had no patience before you went through yourself. But if you go through some stuff long-term and you see how God sustains you long-term, you are able then to walk with other people long-term. And you're not as short. Before you go through stuff, man, it's amazing how you judge other people when they're going through stuff until you go through some hell of your own. I'll never forget, I had a friend who had a whole bunch of babies real fast. And we went by, Gloria and I, we didn't have no babies. And we went by their house to visit. And we noticed that the TV, the big screen, this is when the big screens were the big boxes. And if you had one, you were very impressive. And they had a big, beautiful house. And the house was impressive. And they had babies. And the TV had a hole in it. And it was green shining through the hole on this big screen TV. And then there were toys everywhere. And then I noticed, because it was like three of them in the floor. So I noticed the mama, she took a rag, and she wiped one baby's face, and then the other one she wiped the nose, and I thought, this is disgusting. And then it's almost like you just kind of throw the babies around in the room and then hope for the best, and then everybody go to bed and start all over the next day. And so Gloria and I, of course, riding home, we gossiped and we talked about them with this baby and the hole in the TV and the toys everywhere. And then we had some kids of our own. So we had one, and my sister-in-law would say, well, you only got one baby, because Roland was older, And she said, well, you only got one, so you're really not a real parent until you have two. And so, but we didn't understand. We didn't have that revelation because we only had Roland, and then you got the girl. And so then Joy came, and so then my TV turned orange, and there was toys all over the place, and we didn't care which rag to grab as long as we grabbed one and got them taken care of. Sometimes you just got to go through stuff in order to be sensitive to others. So sometimes you pray and you say, Lord, I need some relief. I need to be set free from this situation. But God would allow the thing to be sustained. But the thing is to know that God is still answering the prayer. And then what you'll discover is, even in that, one day God will just fix the thing and let you out. And then how many times have you been amazed when God actually fixed something? And you know what? I've seen God answer prayer that I forgot I prayed. I've put stuff out there, and you know, you can pray sometime for a long time for stuff. You can go for years praying for stuff. Some of y'all have been praying for your husband or for your wife for years. You want the Lord to fix them. Jesus, please repair them. And it just seemed like they won't be repaired. They refuse to be repaired. And then years can go on. Listen, I've been married long enough now to tell you that all those years of my wife praying, finally I got fixed. And I'm sure she was astonished. But I'm telling you to not be astonished when God answers prayer. And in fact, there should be an expectation that he's going to do it. Amen? Let me just go into scripture real quick. Book of Acts chapter 12. And let's just visit with this very popular story. If you don't have a Bible, I think the greeters might have some. If you need a Bible, we'd love to give you one today. Now, if you're a member, you don't get one. But if you visit it, then you need one. Of course, the electronics work really well, too, today. Acts chapter 12. Are you there? If you're there, say, I'm there. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison. Now, let me just give you background before I go into this. So you have Herod, who's persecuting Christians, particularly leaders, and he just got through killing one, and now they got Peter to lock them up. And so there's the backdrop of the story, and we see here that Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Somebody say constant prayer. You may even want to underline that or highlight that in your Bible. Constant prayer. There was something happening on a regular and continual basis. They were praying. And it was offered to God by the church. So it wasn't the big shots praying. It was the church that was praying for the leader. And there's a word for you that everybody should constantly be praying for the leaders of the church. We need your prayer. Amen? I said we need your prayer. And so they were constantly praying. Verse 6 says, when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Now listen, it's something about God getting involved with stuff that when he begins to touch it, it can seem unreal, because can't nobody do it like God can do it. He has so many creative ways of making stuff happen. And I found out this, that many times God will do stuff in a spectacular way and in a way that is clear that a man could not have done it, because he's going to get the glory, and he's going to get the glory alone. Sometimes we want to take the credit for it, amen? But God knows how to get in there and work things out. In my own experience, and maybe in yours if you think about it, how many times have you walked through something and then you looked back at having coming through it, and you can't even figure out how all the pieces came together. It's amazing to you how this worked out, and that person happened to be there at the right place at the right time, and then this situation happened to come down and intersect with this situation, and it worked out. Only God can make stuff like that happen. And in this case, Peter witnessed God do some extraordinary things. In fact, you know what? I like the scripture, and we quote it often, but it's so real, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. Won't he do it now? And so it can be the most devastating experience for a Christian, the most difficult challenge, the most difficult thing that you've ever faced. But if you just stand and expect God, if you just stand and say, you know what, this is tough and I'm not sure how it's going to work out. But if you can keep the word of God in your heart and you can recall the word of God through every situation, you'll find out that even your poor decisions and the worst mistakes and the most traumatic thing that someone did to you, you'll find that God will take that and use it to bless you and cause you to have the same thinking that Peter had here, where Peter was like, was I dreaming? Did that really happen? Did that really work out that way? Yes, when you walk with God, stuff will work out in a way where you won't even believe it with your own eyes that it is actually taking place. And of course, you're going to always have naysayers and people around you who will tell you, oh, this is not going to go well for you. This ain't going to work out at all. But then the God factor. The God factor. Somebody say the God factor. And then you get that God factor, and the Lord kicks in, and he begins to work things out in the creative way that he can. And then verse 10 says, when they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street. Immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, when he finally realized what happened, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were surprised. How many times have we said that we're actually praying and seeking God about something, only to be surprised when the answer showed up, only to be shocked that God actually responded? Now, this scripture says so much, or this story says so much about us, and it says even more about God. Because the Bible says there were many of them praying. It wasn't just a couple people. It wasn't just that minimal required 2 to 3 gathered in his name. It said many of them were praying. And all of them praying, and the Bible said they were praying constantly. So this was something that was going on and on and on and on. Can you imagine you come together and you're asking God to do something over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden the answer knocks at the door. And the answer knocks at the door, and you're looking at the answer, but you can't believe you're seeing the answer. In fact, you say, there's got to be a ghost. It's not possible that it happened. So what was happening? Did they really believe that God would answer them? Did they really believe that what they were doing was praying to God, or maybe they were doing the religious thing? Maybe they were just talking to one another to comfort one another. Maybe they just came together so that they have strength enough to wait at least until the trial to see if Peter was going to make it. Because keep in mind now, they just saw one get killed. But then God answers the prayer, and they were astonished. My encouragement to you this week is to not be astonished when God answers your prayer. Many of you, you came together this week, and you prayed. And some of you, you didn't make it out this week, but we prayed for you. And we're simply going to get into a place now where there's expectation. We're gonna mix a little faith with it and believe that God is going to respond to the prayer. And we will not be astonished And in fact, there's going to be expectation. We'll be pregnant with expectancy to know that God will be God and do what he says he can do and do what only he can do. They were knocking. The answer was knocking. They said, it can't be so. It can't be so. But it was so. Amen? So let me just share a few things, and then I'm going to take my seat. Number one, about prayer. Prayer number one is an act of faith, meaning you are, in fact, talking to an invisible God. So the fact that it's an act of faith and you can't see who you're talking to, you know, you really have to be engaged by the Word of God and believe what the Word of God says. And then also that it helps to collect some history, what was written in the book, and some history, what has happened in your own life, and some history, what others have testified of, to know that God does hear us when we pray. In fact, John says there's a confidence that we have that when we pray, according to God's will, he hears us. And so we know he's listening. Another scripture, the psalmist says that he inclines his ears to us. So God is paying attention to what you say. But it's an act of faith. Because in that, the other piece is that many times there's no feeling or emotion attached to prayer, and neither is it required. Faith does not mean you feel anything. You can pray and not feel anything, not see anything, not have anything tangible to go off of. But the fact that God said something and you repeated it and said, this is so. The fact that you bring God's word back to him says there's going to be a response from heaven. And so let's not get caught up in how we feel when we gather for corporate prayer. Many times we're tired, particularly on an evening after you've been working all day. Then you had to run home and see about the kids and maybe even prepare dinner before you came out. I recognize that when we come out to pray many times, we're wiped out. We're almost brain dead, have not here. But we came out of obedience and out of a need to be in the presence of God. And we decided we're gonna press out and we're going to be there. And I found out that you don't have to have all of those loosey-goosey feelings. You don't have to feel anything running down your spine. You don't have to feel anything. All you have to do is believe that God is listening and know that he's a faithful God who will respond. And you just get in the game. Somebody say, get in the game. Just get in the game. Find that secret place and talk to him, and God will answer. So it requires faith. It requires knowing that it doesn't have to feel a particular way. We just have to believe. And then number three is that prayer is a privilege of our redemptive status. Prayer is a privilege of our redemptive status. Why is that important to note? Because not only do you not feel anything many times when you're praying, that's why prayer is a discipline, but you also don't always feel good about yourself when you're praying. Sometimes you don't feel good about where you're at. Maybe you've been inconsistent some things. Maybe you haven't been going to church like you need to. Maybe you haven't been treating somebody right in your life. Maybe you've gotten into some things that you once let go of and you really don't even want to talk to God about it anymore because you've heard yourself say it so many times. Listen, the Bible says that we are to approach the throne of grace boldly. And what are we going when we approach it boldly? What does the scripture say to get what? What are we obtaining when we go to the throne of grace boldly? What is it that it says? Come on now, I know y'all read your Bible with me, don't you? To obtain mercy. What do you need mercy for? You need mercy if you've done something that you should have been getting punished for. But mercy is extended so now you don't suffer that punishment. So if the Bible says to approach the throne boldly, that's redemptive status. That means I can go in there when I'm not supposed to be there because I have a right to go there by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I go and I take advantage of what I have in God, my redemptive status. Prayer. Y'all following me today? You following me today? All right. And then there is the real interaction with a real God. That's what prayer is. Real interaction with a real God. And we have to be convinced of that in our own heart. That here's a God who has all the emotions, has all of the sensitivities that we have, and he is there with ears to hear, with eyes to see. But most importantly, here's a loving God that loves you better than your parents love you and loves you like a parent, because Jesus said, after all, when you pray to him, how do you address him? My father. You address him as your father. And he's a loving father, so he's a real God, a real father, and he has real thoughts about you and a real feeling about you're having the best in life. And so in our praying, we pray on that level. And then finally, our prayer is not without basis. As believers, we have the Word of God, which is the foundation. Now, prayer essentially is this. First of all, it is not just a monologue where you're just saying things to God. Many times we just, when we talk to God, we're talking to God about what ails us or the things that we want. But prayer is really an exchange and a monologue. And God is interested in hearing all of those things that we have in our heart. But also, he has stated some things himself. He has made some declarations about you. You know, one scripture says that he will withhold no good thing from you. So these are things that you use when you're praying and you're talking to God. These are the things that you say, well, Lord, you said you would not withhold any good thing from me. So when there's a good thing that you need in your life, you say, Lord, but this is what you said. The Bible says so much about you, and it says so much about how he feels about you. Our prayers are not without basis, but we have the Word. And when you echo God's Word, it is the safest way to be assured that God will answer, that God will do what he said he would do. Amen. God bless you today.